Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast.
Lethal simplicity. Yeah, I like to score fast. It's hard not to be a Noles fan. Get Florida State back. I want a damn good defense. We're still undefeated. Blame no one. Make no excuses. Do something.
Jason Staples here with another episode of the Unconquered Podcast, brought to you by Louis Marquez of Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville, Florida. Once again, Louis is a professionally trained photographer and videographer and will make sure that you have the absolute best possible online presence for whatever listing you put up with him. And no one will be outworked in the greater Jacksonville real estate market. If you or anybody else you know has any real estate needs in the greater Jacksonville market, get a hold of Louis. Let him know you heard about him from the Unconquered Podcast. Details are in the show notes. You can also visit the Unconquered Podcast shop, which continues to get new designs up there. We're going to keep loading that stuff up. Go ahead and support the podcast that way. So today, we're going to go ahead and do a pretty much question and answer podcast, continuing over from the last one, talking a lot about Willie Taggart's offense, lots of questions about Willie Taggart as a coach. Let's just go ahead and get to it. First question. Is Willie Taggart more of a change agent like Jimbo Fisher, or would he potentially be able to maintain a program after his first few years? That's a good question. This is from Twitter. So a couple things. One is, I think this distinction between a change agent and someone who's able to maintain is a little bit overblown for college football. The idea of a coach's message going stale, or the idea that, you know, a guy can come in and bring change but then not be able to sustain success. Yes, success is harder to sustain in general than it is to build toward. That's always a rule that, you know, it's harder to maintain at any place than it is to succeed the first time. Yes, that's true. But this idea that, well, you know, you got to have change, you know, change in message once in a while, things go stale or whatever, I just don't buy that at the college level, because the roster turns over so quickly. Every 3 or 4 years, you have basically an entirely new team. There's not enough time for a message to go stale. And what we've talked about on this podcast previously is the real danger for maintaining success at the college level is less about message going stale or, you know, a guy not being able to maintain what he did before. It has to do with maintaining the discipline level in your program. So when you come in as a change agent, you can clean house. There are going to be some guys, there's going to be a lot of departures right away, including a couple talented guys that Willie Taggart's going to basically say, you know, you really don't fit our vision. Why don't you either go pro in something other than sports, transfer somewhere where you can play, you know, where you're more likely to play and fit their undisciplined brand of football, or just, you know, go ahead to the NFL. There'll be some of that because he can do that. He didn't make any promises to those kids while recruiting. He didn't get to meet those kids' parents in the same way. He hasn't made a commitment to those guys. So he can be a real hard donkey and come in and emphasize discipline and all that. And when that happens, and these guys all have to match one vision, and they come together, all of a sudden you have success. The place where that goes bad, and we've talked about this again previously on this program, is you do then start getting guys in your program that are your guys. Guys that you made promises to. Guys that you made promises to their parents. And all of a sudden, it's harder to be the disciplinarian on these things and to just say, you know what, fine, leave, go. And that, by the way, is one of the reasons that Nick Saban has been able to maintain for so long at Alabama. He's been very clear that if you're not going to get with the program, I don't care what promises I made to your parents. I don't care anything else. You got to hit the road. And they process players. They process players. They process coaches, whatever, because, well, you know, you're not doing what you're not holding up your end of the bargain, so you got to go. Or you're not doing what you're supposed to do in practice, so you're going to get benched. You didn't see a whole lot of that from Florida State in recent years, and that is the thing that you have to maintain. If you're going to maintain success at a program, you have to hold that line on the discipline front. You have to maintain that. And I do think that Taggart historically, and he hasn't been in a place long enough to be able to answer this question for sure, but historically he's been enough of a disciplinarian that I would expect him to be more, to hold that line more readily than what we've seen in the last couple of years. And that's something that, and again, it's interesting. It's encouraging to see that in his speech, in his little talk to the Florida State Senate or the Florida State Faculty Senate, he talked about, again, we're going to make sure that our players, it's my responsibility to make sure that our players are accountable to the things that they promised, the things that they signed on to do when they signed up to come here. And that's a different way of looking at it rather than it's my job to make sure that, you know, you're shepherded through this to it's your job to do what you promised to do when we signed you. And if that approach can be kept, then he'll maintain as well as change. Okay. Next thing, here's one from Twitter. This is from Brime Time Noel on Twitter. Awesome info on the Taggart offense on the previous podcast. Only question I would have would be pace. Do you see him running middle of the pack pace or perhaps faster? Either way should be definitely be faster than what we're used to, right? Well, it would be very difficult to be slower than what Florida State has been in 2017. So it's certainly going to be faster than what you're used to this year. Any slower this year and you're just going to have constant delay of game penalties. So yeah. But Bill Connolly tracks adjusted pace for teams pretty well. Taggart's Oregon team was sixth in the country in adjusted pace this year, which is quite a big difference from 127th from Florida State's side. It's almost exactly the opposite side in terms of standard deviation from the norm. So, you know, one of the fastest teams in the country this year at Oregon. However, in the past at USF, he was never anywhere near that fast. He was more a little bit middle of the pack or just maybe a touch faster than middle of the pack. In 2016, he was 53rd in the country in adjusted pace. Last year, by the way, which was more typical for a Jimbo Fisher Florida State offense, Florida State was 60th. So just a little bit slower, but in the same quartile in terms of pace. Florida State was 60th. Taggart's USF was 53rd. I think we can expect Taggart to run more tempo at Florida State than he did at a higher tempo at Florida State than he did at USF, partly because of his experience at Oregon. See, at Oregon, he got there and those players were so used to tempo and that was so much of their offense. He basically ran the same thing that they were used to. And actually the numbers on offense at Oregon this year were almost identical to their offensive numbers from last year. The only change at Oregon this year was that their defense was a lot better. But he basically kept running the same thing they'd been running. I think we'll see a lot of the same thing at Florida State where he'll pick up with a lot of what Florida State did already. And then he'll pull in some of that stuff that he learned when he was out at Oregon and that he was already doing some of at USF. They'll go faster. But I think what you basically can expect is, again, somewhere around Clemson's pace, which is not breakneck, but you're above average in terms of pace and they will go fast at different points, particularly when they feel like they've got a little bit of an edge in terms of personnel on the field or whatever. So I think we'll see something like that. Okay, now I have a follow-up question, and then this one is from Austin Brewster on Twitter saying, I remember on Noel Digest, you stated tempo with the power run game was an overdog strategy because it allows superior talent or athleticism more opportunities. Would you say Taggart's offensive philosophy fits that? And that, first of all, it's a great question, and it does go back to something that years ago I was pushing, that teams with a talent advantage are better off going faster because it's like the house in gambling, in a casino. The casino wants you to play more because the odds favor them. The more talented team, you want more plays because every additional trial you have gives your talent an increased chance to make a play. So this is something I've been pushing for a very long time, that at a Florida State, it makes sense to go faster to get more trials. You have more depth. You have more talent. You have bigger, faster guys. Yeah, they may be able to get a lead in the first half. They may be able to win through three quarters, but eventually they're going to run out of gas before you do. They're going to run out of bodies before you do, just about everybody you're going to play. And nowhere is that more magnified than being able to run multiple offense where you are running the football and using your physical advantage on the line of scrimmage. And then doing that at pace, that basically you're stacking advantages. You already have as an elite program, that as an elite recruiter, you should have advantages on both lines of scrimmage. You should have elite running backs, which they do on the roster already. And then you take that and you say, we're not only going to pound you, but we're going to pound you fast so that each successive drive we get it, you're going to be that much more gassed on defense. And then we're going to have so many guys on our defense that we can rotate that it's not going to affect them the way that it's going to affect you. So this is absolutely an overdog strategy as opposed to an underdog strategy. An underdog strategy would be to go slow so that you can hopefully win just enough drives to win the game. The overdog strategy says, hey, 18 drives, you're probably not going to win most of them. So yeah, and I think Taggart's philosophy here at Florida State, I actually expect him to go faster at Florida State than he did at USF because of that. Now, it may not be as fast in year one because it takes time to build to that, but by year two, year three, I think you'll start to see him in probably the top quarter of the country in terms of offensive pace, because again, this is an overdog strategy. You're benefiting your team by getting more trials there. Okay, next question. Okay, I have a question about Trickett. I really like him. NFL coaches can't be wrong, can they? Could you give me or your listeners or followers some insight into how he has probably been scapegoated? And do you think he is more successful under a simple scheme such as West Virginia? I feel like he has been undeservedly raked over the coals. Really good question again. This is from Casey Kidd on Twitter, by the way. Very, very good question. And yeah, I do think that Rick Trickett has been unfairly scapegoated quite a bit. And I do and this is something that in the past I've talked about, that if there was a place where Florida State, where the place where Jimbo Fisher's offense is most complex and in some cases unnecessarily complex, was up front. Fisher asks a lot of his offensive line, and he asks a lot of his quarterback in managing those protections and run schemes and that all that stuff, particularly protections. And so, you know, that makes it difficult. And some of the things that they wanted to do in terms of blocking schemes and all that, it's also particularly difficult for the center in the scheme that they were running a lot of zone stuff and a lot of single blocks. They didn't combo trick. This is Trickett's decision. Mostly he doesn't like combo blocking much, which is where you double team initially. And then as the player assigned to that player, let's say you double team a one technique who's between the guard and the center, the guard and the center double team him until the center has full control, and then the guard moves up to the linebacker. Florida State really preferred not to combo at all, to try to give that as a one-on-one block for the center. That's really difficult for a center. It's the hardest block in football, in my opinion. So all that said, Trickett's a good offensive line coach. Yes, I think it was more difficult. It's more difficult to coach the offensive line with what he was asking them to do, as opposed to some, you know, I think Taggart asks his offensive line to do is actually easier overall, by and large. Now, there's a lot of complexity there. The offensive line's going to have a lot to learn, but because a lot of that overlaps from Fisher's there, the complexity again is going to be something that they should be able to handle. But I think most of what they're asking those guys to do will be a little simpler. Now, that said, Trickett is and always has been more of an effort offensive line coach than a technical offensive line coach or a technique coach. His emphasis has always been on you step here and you know make sure your second step isn't too big, but you get your step here and you get your head across, and I don't give a care about how you get your head across. There are some other coaches for whom the technical aspect of exactly where you do put your head and how you get your head across is more the emphasis. Trickett was always a little bit more of an emphasis on the want to, on the assignment itself, and a little bit less on specific technique. Now, he was good at teaching technique, but again, the emphasis is a little bit different. And I think, you know, this is where Taggart would probably do well to follow that with a hire that is very technical in emphasis. But, you know, Trickett is widely regarded as one of the top offensive line coaches in the game. He still is that. He's a very good offensive line coach. And if his players listen and they do what he asks them to do, they do develop. That said, you know, I think a little bit of change in that regard is not going to be a bad thing, particularly in recruiting. All right, next question. Knowles for life. So do you think Florida State gets a good quarterback in the class? I see a report that Taggart is visiting Fields. No, it's a long shot. Next, another question related I got from FSU_JL. Just curious, what kind of chance percentage-wise do you give Taggart flipping Fields back? Well, those questions are related. I do think Florida State's going to get at least one quality quarterback commit in this class, whether that's James Foster, whether that's flipping somebody. They're gonna get a quarterback. They'll find a way. I think the percentage I'd put on Fields would be probably less than 5% because he's been committed to Georgia for so long, and you know, it's really hard at a certain point to change your mind this late in the game. But if they can get him to official visit, if Taggart can get him on campus, then that goes up at least a little bit. And he should consider it because this offense would work really well for a Justin Fields. This offense and this coaching staff would make a lot of sense for him. And with what Georgia's already got as a true freshman quarterback there, he's probably not going to start right away and not going to get the early opportunities that he would at Florida or Florida State. So, you know, and given those offenses, both Taggart and Mullen can develop quarterbacks. Taggart being a Harbaugh developed quarterback himself, Mullen having a record there. If I'm Fields, I'm very seriously considering reopening and looking at those two programs. And again, with what Florida State has surrounding on the roster and Taggart coming in, it would make a lot of sense. So there's a chance. It's probably closer to Lloyd Christmas odds, but I would definitely not rule Taggart out with that. All right, next question. Assuming Jim Leavitt is Florida State's new defensive coordinator, could you provide a breakdown of his scheme? He worked a miracle with Colorado's defense. And yes, that is true, by the way. Colorado went from 109th in defensive S&P Plus. 2 years later, they were 12th. They went 109, 89, and then 12th. That's an almost immediate turnaround. Oregon went from 119 in 2016 to 58 in 2017. That's unreal in terms of how quickly they changed. Now, Leavitt is not an X's and O's complex scheme guy as much as, again, he is a guy who is a motivator, effort guy, who tries to be pretty simple on defense. They'll have some exotic blitzes at each week and prepare that way. But he's basically just going to turn his guys loose and tell them to whip the guy across from him. He wants to play a lot of press man, do some match zone with that. But he wants to press the receivers, get after the quarterback, and stop the run. Very simple in that regard. And he's just going to get a lot of high effort and work fundamentals with his team. And in that sense, a lot of Mickey Andrews type approach there. Very different from a Saban type approach, which is a little more cerebral defensively in that regard. More similar to a Bud Foster in terms of the sort of things he does. Very multiple defensively. But again, the key thing that he's always doing, whether in an odd front, even front, he runs both. But he wants to be flexible, but really get after you. And that's the thing that he's always going to do. Next question was related to that. This is, I commented on Twitter that going through Florida State's roster, they're pretty much ideal for what Jim Leavitt preferentially runs and what he ran at Oregon this last year. Got a couple questions. Elaborate on this, please. Intrigued. If this personnel fits Leavitt, what was Kelly's challenge? That was from Frank Cimento. Next one is from Denver Mortensen. You mentioned our players are perfect for Levitt's scheme. I wondered specifically who you think are best served by the arrival of Taggart and Levitt. Also a good question. Those are related. Taggart or Levitt really likes to two-gap one guy, or at least he did it a lot at Oregon this year. Ran a 3-4 that would morph or, you know, change into some 4-2-5, different things like that. Very similar structurally to what Florida State ran this year. But he wants to do it with more press man. He wants to have a zero technique right over the center to just kick the center's tail. You put Marvin Wilson there. You put the corners out and get them in press coverage. That benefits those guys. It benefits Burns, who becomes the edge rusher extraordinaire in this scheme, just like what he was in Kelly's, but turn him loose a little bit more. This benefits those guys a tremendous amount. Corners particularly, and then the defensive tackles that are already in the roster are going to love the way that they're going to be turned loose. Next question from Quentin Caldwell. Which FSU player could potentially benefit the most from the coaching change? So I would say this. If I were a running back on the Florida State roster, I would be doing backflips right now. I know Kalon LeBourne can do backflips. I would be doing them a lot right now if I were Kalon LeBourne. One thing I'm expecting to see a lot is multiple. You're going to see 2-3 running backs with double-digit carries in Taggart's offense. You're going to see, you know, one thing I would not be surprised to see a good bit is Taggart using Florida State's personnel in such a way that they'll go, say, 2 receivers, 1 tight end, and 2 backs, but it's going to be 2 running backs, and one of the backs is going to be lined up in the slot, and they'll run jet sweep action. So you might have Cam Akers at running back, and then Amir Rasul or Kalon LeBourne or Zaquandre White in the slot. They'll play, and, you know, they'll release him as a running back in some cases, but otherwise they'll come in a jet sweep action, and now you have a jet sweep with a fast running back, or Akers coming straight downhill on the power, depending on the read, depending on different stuff, and they'll find ways to get guys' hands on the football in different ways. So think about how Gus Malzahn uses his different running back and hybrid wide receiver running back personnel, and that's the sort of thing I think you'll see from Willie Taggart with Florida State's personnel there. If I'm a running back, I'm excited and stoked about Taggart's hire, because Florida State's going to run the ball and run the ball a lot with those guys getting their hands on it. If I were, you know, maybe Gabe Neighbors or someone who's a little bit more at the fullback position, maybe he's the guy that hurts the most. Although, again, you know, you can play him and say Nasir Upshur as H-backs as much as you could play them at fullback. I just think it's more likely that you're going to see some of the most athletic guys on the field and a little bit less of some of those situational guys. But yeah, the running back position, I think, is who's got to be most excited here. And that also, Ben Boyd had asked, is Akers more or less likely to have a legitimate Heisman campaign with Taggart? And I'd say much more, because he's going to, again, Taggart's going to run at 60-40, and he's going to pound the rock with all sorts of different angles and give him some opportunities for some big plays in the running game. All right. I got a question from Bert. With Taggart being the guy, do you think he can recruit assistants as well as he can players? And then he listed like Ansley and or Scherer. First of all, yes. Maybe better, because he has a reputation as being easier to work for than Jimbo. And secondly, actually not, and this gets to something I talked about in the last podcast episode, by not being married to the Saban defensive approach, it's actually easier to find some defensive coaches. So if you're married to the Saban tree, if that's just what you believe in, like Jimbo, now you've got Kirby Smart, you've got Jeremy Pruitt, you've got Nick Saban, and you've got Jimbo Fisher. All are recruiting in the same general region. All are running basically the same defenses in the same general region. You're actually economizing. You're actually potentially benefiting from a market inefficiency If you're running a non-Saban defensive system with non-Saban assistants who also run really good systems, if you're Florida State, you can actually benefit from that by going after non-Saban assistants who otherwise, you know, aren't quite as in demand with, you know, all those other Saban disciples coaching all over the place. So, you know, maybe you pull in more of that Kansas State tree. Like, again, that's where you get Venables. Venables is that old Kansas State Bill Snyder type defense. Jim Leavitt is one of those guys. You know, you can pull guys from the Bud Foster tree. There's different trees that you can go to and get really good defense from. And you're not committed to trying to compete against Saban and Pruitt and Jimbo and Kirby for that limited pool of assistants. So in that sense, you're actually at a market advantage. And in terms of offensively, he's got a lot of deep ties in the Harbaugh tree. He's got, you know, he's got the likability factor that's there. So yeah, he can recruit assistants quite well. Another question, this also from Bert. Do you think Taggart can manage the egos of the 4 and 5 star recruits he'll inherit and recruit? And my answer to that is I don't think that's going to be a problem at all for this guy. Part of it is I think, and it, you know, as much as it shouldn't matter, it does matter. He's a 41-year-old black man. And he's a 41-year-old black man who emphasizes accountability, emphasizes discipline and all this other stuff. I think he's going to connect extremely well with a lot of these guys. And the fact that he's such a no-nonsense, no-excuses guy is going to work really well. All right, final questions. Dan says, just amazed how Pruitt was announced yesterday and he's already putting together staff. What's Willie waiting on? Well, Florida State needs to play a bowl game before their own coaches are no longer going to be retained. And also, there's other places that their coaches are there. Are there coaching until their bowl game. Pruitt is hiring for a program that's not in a bowl. So that's that. That doesn't mean that Taggart isn't already getting agreements and recruiting the staff that he wants. Final questions. Let's see. Yes, this from G Andrew 13 from Greg on Twitter. With 2 ex-Saban assistants playing him annually, who's the first one to beat him? That being Pruitt or Jimbo. And my answer to that is I have to see the staffs they're putting together. Ordinarily, I would say Jimbo if it was just all things being equal. But so far, Pruitt's staff, the guys he's bringing on, are very, very good. And I think Tennessee is in a little bit better talent situation than Texas A&M to start. So I might lean towards Pruitt at this point, but I need to see how the staffs are going to line up. But we'll see. Well, that is going to do it for us today. Got an extra long podcast here. Need to cut these shorter for the rest of the way, but there's so much to talk about, so much excitement around the program at this point. Once again, this podcast brought to you by Luis Marquez of Keller Williams Realty in Jacksonville. Give him a call if you have any needs in the greater Jacksonville area in the real estate arena. Also, check out the Unconquered Podcast shop. Once again, this has been the Unconquered Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Thanks for listening.
Thank you all very much and have a great day if you want to.
I made this.